smoking right through this thing, man.
What's what?
Holy Tuesday. That's a Tuesday that's holy. As good as you're going to get from me, because I don't know. But I want to just take a couple minutes, because you, Glenda, hit on it a little while ago about this launch of this spaceship to the backside of the moon. Farthest trip that man has been off of planet Earth, which is crazy. Our Fred, by the way, watched the launch from his back porch. Yeah, Fred and Kathy. Fred and Kathy. I texted him and I said, hey, are you anywhere near where they're going to launch at? He goes, yeah, I'm about to go out on the porch and watch it. So he videoed it and sent it to me. Crazy. All of that aside, I want to talk to you just a little bit, completely off the record, not off the record, but off of what we're supposed to be doing here tonight. Because the more I watch that, and the more I think about it, and the more I think about, because this, I was watching on the TV this morning how, you know, they get in they come out of their place where they're hanging out because they've been quarantined because they don't want anybody getting sick, and so they quarantined them, you know, and the night before they say goodbye to their family and all this kind of stuff, and then they come out of that place in their uniform, in their spacesuit deal, and they get into the van and they go for a 20-minute van ride to go to the spaceship, to get in the spaceship, and they go and all these people are doing all these things, and they get up on the top and they're getting ready to go in the capsule, and they got another team of people that's up there. They're the last humans that they'll be around for the, what is it, 10 days that they're going to be gone for 10 days. And those guys are getting them dressed. They're putting their gloves on them. They're putting their helmets on them. They're clicking this, clicking that. They're hooking this up and hooking that up. They get in the spaceship. And I begin to think about the act of the steps of faith. Listen, that's nuts. Because somebody's doing the math. Think about it. Somebody's doing the math. Let's see, now the world's spinning at this many miles an hour, and the moon's out there doing this deal, and we're all in one orbit, and we're all going around this way. And so if we leave here at 10:30, you tracking with me? And we're going to be going 48,000 miles an hour, or whatever it is. 25,000? Yeah. But then they got to bump it up like double to get to the moon, right? Isn't that right? See this? Microphone. I'm doing the preaching. You just sit there. Whatever it is, that's crazy. Because I'm going to cover this many miles in this amount of time, and when it's all said and done, that thing's going to fall out of the sky and land in the Pacific Ocean. Somebody is doing calculations. No. I'm just saying, for those four astronauts to get in that spaceship believing that they said there were thousands and thousands of personnel that make that whole thing possible. And I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking about the step of faith from security on Earth across the threshold into a spaceship that's got I don't know how many million pounds of thrust to launch them into space. That's next level faith. I mean, we don't have a problem believing for salvation and faith in salvation, but would we have enough faith to get in that spaceship? Nope. Listen, it's just fate. And you know what those astronauts said? We're in God's hand. That's what they said. We're in God's hands. We're doing this for the betterment of humanity. And we're in God's hands. You know what they were saying? If this thing blows up, oh well. That's really was what they were saying. Because their faith is in something greater than all them people that was doing the math. Man, that just, it blows my mind to think about that. And they're going to be gone for 10 days, and then they'll be back. And they'll be back. And then they're going to get prepared for another launch, and they're going to, yeah. Man, oh man. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. So then, my beloved are you there? Are we there? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Lord, I need your touch tonight. I need your help. I need your anointing. I need you to speak through me tonight, Lord, to communicate this word in the next 15 minutes. Lord, I just thank you for it. And God, we just trust you with this all. And Lord, help us to be slow to speak and swift to hear. God, in Jesus' name, amen. So James has spoken previously of the new birth, and he begins to go on to explain that the new birth ought to reveal itself in the way we act. Right? So here's your first one. James also connected the new birth with its source, which is God's Word. So it's the Word that brings us life, that also guides us in living the life that it has brought to us. It's brought salvation. It's brought healing. It's brought all an inheritance. It's brought all of that stuff. And so from the grand scope of God's eternal plan and the unique place of you and I as believers in His creation, James now turns to the practical essentials of living as God's own children. So the expression here, to be quick to listen, is a beautiful way of capturing the idea of active listening. Do you tracking with me? Listening is more than hearing. Listening is more than just hearing. To be quick to listen is a beautiful way of capturing the idea of active listening. And so here's another one. We are not simply to refrain from speaking. We are to be ready and willing to listen. Anybody have a problem with listening? Tonight's your night. I see how it is. I see what you're doing back there, Dennis. So this idea of quick listening is obviously to be done with some level of discernment. We are to check what we hear against God's Word. Check what we hear against God's Word. Here's another one. If we don't listen both carefully and quickly, we are liable to be led into all kinds of false teaching and error. There's four of them in that one. Did you get them all? Carefully, quickly, false, and teaching. So quick to listen and slow to speak needs to be taken together as sides of the same coin. Everybody get there? Okay. Carefully, quickly, false, teaching. So it should sound something like this on your paper. If we don't listen both carefully and quickly, we are liable to be led into all kinds of false teaching and error. So here's another. Well, I didn't get this one done, I guess. Slowness in speaking means speaking with humility and with patience, not with hasty words or nonstop gabbing. You ever been around somebody that's talking and talking and talking and you wish they would just not be talking? I'm talking about grumbling is unpleasing to the Lord. Kicking rocks, mumbling under your breath, saying stuff about other things and other people that you probably shouldn't be saying stuff about. You hear some little nugget about something, and you just can't wait to go tell somebody about it. That's called gossip, and it's called sin. And we need to learn how to keep our mouths shut. I'm not being politically correct. I'm just trying to be effective. If it's not firsthand from you, and if it doesn't pertain you or pertain to the person that you're about to reveal it all to, keep your trap shut. How much pain would be alleviated in the church and in our society if we just learned to shut our mouth? Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in your tongue. You can speak life or you can speak condemnation and death to someone. Man, Pastor, I thought this was going to be fun. So did I. But the church, pardon me, what? Yeah. That's right, old thumper. Sometimes we just can't wait to tell somebody some little something that we found out. Keep it to yourself. We have opinions. Keep them. Most of us need to just keep them to ourselves. Wouldn't have to answer a lot of questions if we'd do that. Why? Well, because constant talking keeps a person from being able to hear. Here's your fill in the blank. Wisdom is not always having something to say. Wisdom is not always having something to say. It involves listening carefully and considering prayerfully and speaking quietly. So here's the thing. When we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think that our ideas are much more important than theirs. And so James, the author of this book, James wisely advises us to reverse the process. We need to put a mental stopwatch on our conversations and keep track of how much we talk and how much we listen. Here's something that you learn in children's church. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Moving right along. If you're hearing the word and sharing the word, that's good. But if you're hearing words and sharing words that don't need to be shared, then you're wrong. So when people talk to us, when you're in a conversation with somebody, do they feel that their viewpoint and their ideas have values? We should be slow to get angry. How many of you are short fused? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not asking that question. I'm just provoking thought. Pardon me? Yes, it does. I've experienced it and I've participated in it. I won't even go into that. I'm just going to move on because, yeah. Anger, zip it. Anger closes our mind to God's truth.